It's Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and today is July 28th, 2015. Yes, indeed, Inside Out, The Naked Truth is back after a two-week vacation, and we are coming to you again live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of Northern California. Lupin Lodge, by the way, clothing is optional, but the truth, we've noticed, is always naked. I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. Welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, some interesting music, and as many surprises as possible.
Our program tonight has been sponsored by Go Raw, 100% raw food. Not only tastes good, but it's so good for you. And thank you, Go Raw, and we'll be back later on in tonight's program to give you some more Go Raw vital information. And here we are.
Here we are. Hello, Errol.
Rochelle, just to let you all know, we had a fabulous trip in Boulder, Colorado, where we spent 21 years. We raised our 14 children.
No, dear, they were only two, but you have trouble counting.
Ah, yes. I remember it well. We sang that song a lot of times during the week time in Boulder as Rochelle recounted certain stories and I recounted them and they weren't the same. And that would launch us into that.
Then we discovered we weren't the same.
That's right. We're not the same, and we certainly weren't the same as we were when we left Boulder in the last century, I believe. Yes, it was late in the 20th century, and the Striders found themselves at yet another crossroads. And then for Mr. Strider, the prospect of returning to that beautiful Northern California with the redwoods and the ocean, albeit cold ocean, drew him back, the redwoods, the ocean, and of course, at that time, Trader Joe's. Because you see, Boulder didn't have a Trader Joe's at that time, but now they do.
And Trader Joe's also has raw.
Go raw. They have Go Raw products. So anyway, we're back and we're ready to get at them.
Actually, you want to go on, not get at them.
Go on.
Go on is right. Tonight we're going to be co-sponsored by Go On.
Go On.
Go On?
Go On.
Go On, go on, go on, go on.
And it can go on and on, and actually will go on and on like that during the evening. We hope we don't damage you with too much Go On. But at the risk of that, I would like to see if we might focus on what it means to go on. I shared a passage today from, partially from the Urantia book, which says that the only thing we take from this life when we go on is that which has spiritual value. And then I read in the small print, and one carry-on.
Go on.
And I checked in it to see what the carry-on is and what actually happened, supposedly, in this perspective of the universe, is that we kind of wake up and we're greeted by some welcoming committee from the next level. And as we're opening our eyes and kind of stretching our into our new body, one of them says, well, carry on. And that's what it seems to be.
They could have said, go on.
They could have. Well, that's another committee. I got the carry-on committee because I didn't want to just go on. I wanted to carry on, which brings me to an issue that I don't think is very much given a lot of attention, certainly not the attention that I felt it deserved, and that is, do we go on? Does this mortal self that we've become very self-identified with some way continue after the body's demise? Some would say, no, it's obvious. You are, you're your body, and that's it. Once the body goes, you're gone. And then there's this concept of the soul and people's beliefs about it in all parts of the world, and what do you have to do to make sure, assuming it goes on, that it goes to a pleasurable place, not a painful place.
Well, you know, like the heaven and hell concepts, and then there's the beyond heaven and hell, which is all one wonderful place that you go to, and then there's beyond that, which is like the levels of going on, which is a kind of soul evolution as we progress through eternity. And these are still belief systems, because the truth is, I haven't got to that place yet. I'm still here. And because I'm still here, you know, I want to believe it. I want to believe that it's true, but at the same time, I don't know that it's true.
Go on.
Exactly.
So we don't know that it's true, but we can speculate and hope.
We can. We can hope. And I think our need to be eternal beings rather than just mere mortals who, you know, spend a few decades and then disappear from view, so to speak, there's something more than that. And is it just our desire to continue on?
Well, you know, we have one of our guests tonight, Rabbi Shlomo Greenberg. Rabbi, I'd like to know what you feel about the going on possibility. Could you step up here and share?
Well, I've been thinking about going on ever since I went. You see, I went for a while, and then I was wondering if I would keep going on after so far I had went a certain amount. So then there's venting, and then there's going. And the venting is from where you're coming from. I went there, I went here, I went there, and the going is where you're going. So what makes me think that we go on? Because I look at life, and everything is like evolving, and things go on. And the main thing, I notice life loves and cherishes individual, unique personalities. I can feel it because I treasure them. And I'm thinking, I'm one of life. I am the part of life that can do treasuring. And I think all of life is treasuring. And I think that life would like to keep us around. And so that's why I believe we go on. Although I'm told we have to leave a lot of mishigash behind. Mishigash, that means the craziness, that it goes thinking. You can't have much of that. There's not much of you to go on if you're spending most of your life deluded in mishigash.
So are you saying, Rabbi, that you don't take the mishigash with you?
That's what I'm saying. You leave the mishigash because it was not doing you any good here anyway, so why would you want to bring it to the next place? It doesn't even work there. They can't even exchange it for a different currency. There's no exchange for mishigash into something in the next feature, chapter of our lives.
Well, go on there. Go on there.
Yes?
Yes.
Well, Rabbi, wow, that was quite a perspective. So in other words, it's like evolution is this amazing way the universe, the source, God, what starts it all being, call it what you will, but something is animated existence and continues to hold it and control it, and get this, it is characterized by certain consistent universe principles that keep going on and on.
Like?
Well, light. Light to me is an interesting universe principle. It comes out of this fusion. There's these particles that are kind of pressed together. You know, this is a layman's understanding. Actually, I'm pre-layman. I'm an apprentice layman.
Go on.
And as a result of this experience of fusing, light, which is energy, comes forth. Now, I was just sharing this with someone today about that energy and light coming forth, and I was reminded of a concept by one of my hero philosophers, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, and when he talked about union differentiates. In other words, the impulse of the universe is toward this amazing union. Some might think of it as the Big Bang, as if everything had gotten condensed so tightly that it had to move. So it got a moving van and had a Big Bang.
Go on.
So we are looking at that issue, Rochelle. Here's my question, that does it make any difference in one's life how you live this life, having some confidence that you go on and some sense of what that might be versus not? Does it actually make a difference in how you would live your life and the choices you would make?
Well, those who believe in if you're good, you go to a nice place, and if you're not good, you go to a bad place, you know, damnation, hell, brimstone and fire and all that stuff. I think that that makes a big difference in a lot of people's lives. But it doesn't make a big difference in the person who doesn't care. You know, like there are people who like live their lives nefariously and they really don't care, you know, if they spend their life in hell, because they think, well, I'm going to get everything I can while I'm alive, and so I'll pay for it later. But there's no sense of that. And I think the idea that we're rewarded for good deeds and punished for bad ones, I don't think it holds as much of people's attention as it once did.
Oh, no. Like, we're reading these books that take place in the 11th, 12th, 13th centuries, and those folks really, really believed it. As a matter of fact, there was that amazing character in that book that was by, took place in the cathedral building book by Ken Follett.
Mm.
And you had this character who was the bad guy all throughout the book. Boy, whenever he got scared that he was going to burn in hell, man, that guy was at the priest's front door.
Huh.
He was.
Asking for a resolution. What's it called? Absolution.
Yeah. And, you know, they sold those absolutions in those days. They called them, I forgot what they called them, but they were like, you could buy a clearinghouse passport.
That's one way of looking at it.
To the next life, it won't say anything bad about you, and you can buy these things. And the church started charging for them. Handy, nice little business. Pretty clever business idea, if you ask me. Got these people, you scare the hell out of them, or scare them of hell, and then you offer them out. It was like, just like a mafia racket, right? It was a, what do they call that kind of game when they play where they scare the hell out of you and then get you to pay not to hurt you? That game.
Whoa. Yeah, well, that game still goes on in the world. I mean, that hasn't stopped at all. As long as fear exists, that game will go on. Because, you know, if we don't counter it with love and know what love is, we still don't know what it is. I mean, we're still so young, we really don't understand it. We still only have the two loves of Eros and filial.
They named the first one after me. Change the spelling. Eros.
Very funny. Go on, Errol.
Go on. Okay. But I wanted to mention one more thing about that change when they were selling these things. I wish it would come back to me, but it will later. That was one of the major catalysts for Martin Luther to say, that's enough. Enough with all this essentially bullshit that was the church at that time. But now, making it currently relevant, what is the church that's doing the same thing to us now that we worship at? And I would say it's the church of capitalism.
And well, that's interesting that you want to call it a church, because it's pretty clear that people do worship it. They worship money. We worship money. You know, we worship it. I mean, it's not just something we use, but we worship it.
We're devoted to it.
We have to have it. If we don't have it, we feel like we're doomed.
Or we don't have the wherewithal to have what we need. So here's this pervasive belief that permeates almost the entire world, and that is this belief that there is essentially scarcity. And where the on and on-ingness of it comes in for me is that I get to see that even if time-wise that we don't go on, we know the space goes on, and there's just like so much. And as Yeshua says in one of his talks in the Keys of Yeshua, the belief in scarcity is so far from the truth of what the universe is that it was really created by some to control others, and there is no real scarcity. So how do you begin to shift consciousness to the awareness that there's infinite abundance and how to get there from where we are.
Well, I really think that what has to happen for that to take place is we have to redefine abundance. Because as long as we are material beings, we think of abundance in material, as material abundance. And what we don't realize is that the abundance of magnetism is what exists on the planet. It's a magnetic planet. So there's abundance of magnetism. Therefore, we can attract what we need. And that's how the abundance is created, because we attract what we need. If we can understand that in truth, we have to go past a whole lot of emotional baggage and emotional barriers to really believe that. Never mind understand it. We have to believe that it's true for our lives, that we aren't in a state of lack, that the universe, the magnetism of the universe, we have that magnetism as well.
Go on. let's do go on. Here we go. And I think it's something what you just said needs to be shouted from the mountain, you know. Just thank you, Bob Marley.
Oh, wow.
For reminding us to tell it on the mountain. It's good news. There was a version by Peter, Paul, and Mary that I wanted to share, but Bob Marley said, no, I'll take this over. He talked to me just before I played that song.
That's good. Now you're definitely moving beyond this plane.
I am moving beyond this plane. So
you can take a train.
It does raise a question for me, and I'd like to ask you who are listening to Insight Out the Naked Truth tonight, sponsored by Go Raw, this question. What might you feel so strongly about saying that you would want to figuratively go tell it on the mountain or communicate it through, in this case, Facebook, or stand up in a street corner and tell the people? I remember asking someone once, a student of mine, what they were devoted to. And they stopped and they said nothing. They couldn't think of anything that they were devoted to. So to me, we talked about worship, we talked about religion and churches and this whole thing about where is your devotion? What are you devoted to? Well, that's your religion.
Well, for a lot of people, there's both things. There's the devotion to family, devotion to your children, devotion to your husbands, wives, you know, your parents, devotion to family, and then there's devotion to your belief system. People have devotion to their belief systems, whether it's in a form that says religion, or they just believe in something so strongly that they are devoted to it. They live it. They practice it. You know, I know people get up every morning and meditate, and that's a devotion. if you do something over and over again like that, you know, like I'm devoted to having clean teeth. I'm devoted because I brush them every single solitary day.
You are, and I worship at that same altar of clean teeth. As a matter of fact, we were looking at all the things we have to do at night to get ready to go to bed, and we agreed there were quite a number of things. Here you are, you're dead tired, just want to fall into bed. No, but you can't fall into bed. In our case, we have to take the futon down and turn it into a bed. Then I have to take the screen that separates the kitchen from the bed.
We live in a cabin in the woods.
And I put the screen up because I don't like to sleep in the kitchen. I know that sounds silly.
No, I agree with you. That's why we both do it. You do it, and I agree with you.
And the mice tend not to come into the bedroom if the screen is up, because they're tricked by that solid object to think that
probably
it's
nobody
a screen.
Knows what you're
but
talking
wait,
about.
We're still on. That was just the first stage of getting ready for bed.
But I think it has to do with age, because when I was young, I didn't think about those things. I think I did brush my teeth as much as possible, But if I was super, super tired, I just went to sleep.
Well, that was right. Age is a big factor. They keep adding up as you go. And I think what happens is I'm up to about 18, actually more like 45 minutes of activities that I have to do to get the teeth, and then you have to get the mouthwash, and then you got to have to take the certain pills before you get to bed. And I don't like to take those capsules that are made out of a horse hoofs. So I pull them apart.
Go on.
Yeah, no. Every night.
You don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you do, because I've seen you do it.
Yeah, I pull them apart and put the little white powder in the very small bit of water, you see, because I have to be careful I don't drink too much because of, well, an enlarged prostate, more information that you want to hear. Nevertheless.
I hope the people listening are as Errol's age, because you'll be laughing. If you're younger than that, you'll probably be going too much information, don't want to hear it.
I'll just mention one more thing, because this could go on forever. There's so much to be done, but there's one more thing.
Please don't go on forever. Don't go on.
Don't go on? Go on.
Don't go on.
Well, that's to say is that you have to do what you can to minimize the number of times you have to get up at night and use the bathroom. That's all I'll say about it.
Okay, let's not go on about this. Does that count as going on, not going on?
Well, it's the beginning of a new direction that if you continue on it for any given length of time, even as, you know, a nanosecond, you're going on in that direction. So it counts as a go on.
You can go on backwards. Can you go on backwards?
Go on backwards.
You know, there's these two arrows on your computer when you're getting information. One that goes one way and one that goes the other way. You press one and you go forward. You press the other and you go backward.
Did you all get this? No, I know, because if this is too tricky, we have a seminar on it. You can come out here to Lupin, take your clothes off, and listen to us. Go ahead, Michelle.
So they're both going on, even though you're going on in this direction, which is going back to where you were, and you're also going on to go forward. But they're both going on. I don't see that there's a difference.
Because I don't see that there's anything going on. I think it's just an arrow pointing to the possibility of going on. Because the only thing that's actually going on is you being here in this existence. That's all that's going on.
That's right. So if I'm pointing, let's say I am looking at a bunch of pictures from the past. Mm-hmm. I'm going on about these pictures. And if I'm looking at it, I can't be looking at a bunch of pictures from the future because they haven't happened yet. So which one is really going on?
That's right. So here we have this phenomenon. Again, we've talked about this before, the future and the past, and how we integrate them into this present moment. Because I think almost anyone would agree that, Professor... Yeah, this is Lauren Umbridge. Did you have a comment about that? You talked about that a couple of weeks ago, past futures. Of course I have comments. That's what my mouth is for, to make comments.
Go on, Professor.
Well, be that as it may, it's not as much for certain things in the past that it was used for then that it just hasn't been used for. And I'm going to detail about that because I think it would be far too much information for the listener out there. Anyway, besides the point, I wanted to talk about the past and the future. So there you have this experience that keeps adding up. And then you have several options. You can either extract from that experience some form of wisdom or perhaps an insight as to a better way to encounter and deal with certain circumstances so that you minimize the amount of pain and maximize the amount of pleasure you're having, of course. Rather simple. Or you can keep trying to pull stuff from the past that doesn't really want to come with you into the present. It doesn't belong there, and it knows that, and that's all the situations that remain unforgiven. The resentments, the anger at certain people, the disappointments, everything that you might regret, all that stuff that keep trying to fix it in the past, and of course the past is gone and it wouldn't want to come with you anyway.
Lord Umbridge, this is your wife. I know I haven't been on the program before, but I do want to say something. I am absolutely certain that the past and the future only can exist in the present.
Well, where'd they hide them then, if
no,
they're
no,
in the
no.
present?
What I'm saying is because if you talk about the past, you're in the present talking about the past. And if you speculate about the future, you're in the present speculating about the future. So the past and the future only can exist in the present. They have no existence whatsoever if you didn't have memory, have it written down someplace. The thing is, it doesn't exist in the past. The past is gone and the future is yet to come. But if you are in the present, you can talk about the past, you can speculate about the future, but you cannot do it in the past and the future because it doesn't exist.
Go on.
I have nothing more to say.
All right, I'll just say one more thing, and that is the opportunity then to release the past so that you're not lagging behind trying to make the past do something that you expected it to do. See, I think that's how you miss the present, is to...
You can't miss the present, sweetheart. You cannot miss the present. It's impossible. It's impossible because you're here. Here you are. I see you. You can say anything you want. You can tell me anything you want about the past. You can be miserable about the past. But you're right here being miserable about the past.
Absolutely. You see, from your point of view, I am present. But to my mind's point of view, it's back in the past.
So your mind is... Oh, go on. I can't talk to you.
All right. Well, we won't talk about it. Let's see if we can... That was a song by Elton John, sung by George Michael at a live concert. I found the words "going on" somewhere in that song. And I thought it would be good to hear this man. He has a wonderful voice, and I always appreciate Elton John. So there you have it.
What was the name of it?
The name of the song, just a minute, I'm going to pull it up here. Yeah. Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a nice lyric, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It brings us back to that whole question of that I still feel like we could look at, and that is, does a sense of going on, or maybe it's the quality of our going onness that always is an option that faces us, just how to determine a higher quality of that which potentially transpires in the future based upon the past. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about having this past-future hypothesis, because it does inform us and affect how we relate to the present. Go on.
Yeah, I agree. But we're in the present always.
Okay, so you heard it here on Inside Out. This is the present. You are in the present. And while we're in the present, there's one of our favorite guys who wants to come in and talk about it. And this is Father O'Malley. Good evening, Father.
Well, good evening there, my boy. And it's good, always good to be reminded to be in the present. Oh, so it's such a time getting wrapped up in the things and all the shenanigans that were happening in the past. And I just love that word shenanigans, because I don't think we have enough real good shenanigans like we used to in the past. We used to have really fun shenanigans. You know, now the shenanigans are not necessarily so kind to those who are affected by the shenanigans. For example, those who really love the control and keeping the power in the world, those are shenanigans that we could probably do without. Do you not think so there?
Well, I have to agree with you. I think I would be happier on this planet if those shenanigans didn't exist. And at the same time, sometimes I question, you know, my idea of right and wrong and my idea of good and bad in terms of how it affects me. You know, sometimes you're affected by things that are very good that was bad. You're affected in a sense that you become a better person because having bad things happen to you. And other people have good things happen to them and become bad.
Like what happened the other day. If you don't mind, I'd like to go on about that. Can I talk about your little brush with the red truck a little bit? Rochelle had a brush in with the red truck. And I'll just tell my part of the story.
And a brush, meaning I scraped his fender.
Yeah, so there's a little red on our white fender.
And a little white on his red fender.
There we go. I thought it was a good exchange, but he may not think so. But anyway, what it did to our car was there's this little piece of cardboard that kind of separates the tires.
It's like a tin.
No, it's not.
It's
it's flimsy. And it was rubbing against the wheels because it had gotten knocked loose. And then the irony was we were driving, we couldn't keep going. We were on our way to San Francisco to visit with our son and his beautiful little baby. And
our daughter-in-law.
Exactly. And I couldn't do it because this thing was grating against the tire. And so we had to pull over, and I kept looking for a place to pull over, but it was so hot, I couldn't stand working on it there, which I didn't know what was going to require me. Am I going to eat it? Am I going to pull it out? Am I going to talk and coax it out through conversation?
Eat it? You weren't going to eat it?
I don't know. I had no idea, because I don't know about such things.
You
weren't
going to eat it.
Thank you, Lady Umbridge. She's offended by the prospect of what?
Eating it. Oh,
no, never
God.
Mind. So we finally found we had to drive around all over the place looking for a shady place because I couldn't deal with the heat. And we pulled over this shady place, and Rochelle banged into something that shook the car.
Like a cement piece of
something
there on the ground.
And Rochelle got so upset about it. But then I went out and I saw that thing that I was going to have to try and pull off the car came off.
We thought of it as a metaphor.
I didn't have to do nothing.
The thing that upset me so much actually was to our benefit.
It was better.
I think it was to our benefit. I have no idea.
I threw the ratty old thing into the
garbage,
and there you have it. So it's true to reaffirm what you just said, and that is certain things happen, but you know, we don't know really what's going on. But we do know one thing, and that's something every entertainer knows, and that's the show must go on, right? So we're the show.
Empty spaces, what are we living for? Abandoned places. I guess we know this door. All in all, does anybody know what we are looking for? Another hero, another mindless crime behind the curtain in the pantomime. Hold the line. Does anybody want to take it anymore?
Must go on. That was by Queen. I remember I was in a show once and I was very depressed about something. Oh yes, my girlfriend that I was in lust with broke up with me and I was very depressed and I was just about to go on stage and the character that I was playing wasn't depressed. So I had to
leave that character behind and find a new character that wasn't depressed. And so I did that. I found a character that wasn't depressed. And I walked on stage confident and upbeat. And it was then I realized that given sufficient motivation, you can change what you feel about things.
Absolutely. You know, I don't even think it's being dishonest with yourself to realize that you can make a choice about feelings. You know, everyone speaks about feelings as very sacred, but I feel this way, you know, I feel this way. And yes, I will always honor somebody's feelings because they believe that it's so. But for myself, I'm aware that I could be irritated and angry and all of a sudden look at why am I being irritated and angry. That doesn't seem to be really a substantial reason at this point in my life to continue on with the irritation and the anger. And because it seems it takes so much energy and it seems useless, it doesn't help you go on in any way whatsoever. So I make a choice in that moment to to drop it.
Go on.
Seriously, my friend. I'm serious about that one.
I just remember what those things those people sold in the Catholic Church at the time. Indulgences.
Oh, right. Indulgences.
Indulgences. Now, that's an odd term, isn't it?
Well, you can indulge me.
I mean, if you think about it, one of the things we'd like to do here on Inside Out is to kind of penetrate into what is most substantive in our life experience. And for those of you who have listened with us over the years, literally, that we've been doing this, I think you know that that is our bent. Unfortunately, the older I are bent, the older I get, the more bent I get. But at least I'm bent in that direction.
You don't know what direction you're bent in.
No, I'm bent in the direction of digging deeper into the substrata of infinite possibilities projected out onto an eternal screen that vibrates in a pattern and a rhythm that resonates with the universe qualified, that's always, always busy, 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 busy.
Could you repeat that in a fewer words? could you break that down into a more simplistic
All right. I'll sum it up. The universe is always shopping. That's basically it. It's all. And let me explain. I can see that look on your face.
Shopping?
Shopping, yes.
That's a funny image.
Well, what is shopping? Well, what is shopping is, oh, just a minute, Senator, hi, Tex, do you want to talk about why the universe is shopping? We're not really clear.
Well, I've given this quite a bit of thought, and I've been dealing with all kinds of folks out there and being in office and running for office. You know, when I was a kid, I had to run for my life, so I knew how to run. But I looked at this here thing that you're talking about, and I got to thinking about it, that what's most squishy is not necessarily the thing that's most real, but it often is not as the thing that's most satisfying. Squishy stuff. And so you're looking at me funny. Is that not clear?
No. You were going to clarify what Errol had said, and now you got me more confused than ever.
All right.
It's squishy. You keep using terms that take me further away from what I feel is the kernel of truth about the statement that he made.
And that would have been about the sacredness of this present moment, no matter what he said. It's always about the sacredness of this blessed moment and what it takes to bring our undivided attention to it. I think that's the key here.
I think so, too.
To bring your undivided attention. So if you think about your divided attention, which it often is because there's endless distractions, and if you could focus your intention and attention, see, they work hand in hand, the attention and the intention, they kind of go together. Well, where you put your intention is a follow-up to the intention is to put your attention on something that's for the greatest good, for the greatest part of the greatest universe I've ever been in.
Well, thank you, Senator. I appreciate that. I think I'm not sure that that's what Errol might have been saying, but since it's what you're saying, I agree with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and I appreciate your vote.
You're welcome. And that brings me back to the present. When I speak of being in the present, I don't think of it as a time continuum, one way or the other. I think of it as being engaged. I think of it, so when you bring your attention to something, you're engaged with it. And to me, that's how one is present, that you are engaged. So if we're engaged in speaking about something that happened before, we're right here because we're engaged in that. If we don't know where we are, we feel disjointed, well, the engagement has been broken. And I think that the more disturbed we are as human beings, the less ability we have to be present, engaged.
Well, because they keep sending up those little squirty little thing with those furry feet and all those legs and with the hideous mouth. Those are little past things that gnaw at you and say, no, you got to come back here because this hasn't been dealt with. And that's what keeps us from the present. That's what I was trying to say before. You got to let go so you can go on. Because if we're still holding on in our psyche, in our emotional body, we're stuck. And stuck is the opposite of go on.
Yeah.
So we're here to get unstuck. So the question, though, is if you feel stuck in any way, or if you see people that you feel compassion toward that appear to be stuck, do you feel called to tell them on the mountain that we don't have to be stuck, that we can be free, like it said in that song earlier about being free? And fundamentally, we love freedom. We love our freedom, and especially in this country, we're very proud, and we have freedom, and we think we're taking freedom around the world through this mechanism called democracy.
But do we have freedom? I mean, we have the freedom to choose, and most of us, and not all of us, feel that they have the freedom to overcome their circumstances. And I know that one of the things that I think about when I think about freedom is that I have choice. That I have a choice between being stuck and getting unstuck. That I have a choice. And then I have the creativity within me to make that happen. And if you can't, I mean, if you're like, on a mental level, people can be totally free even though their physical body is stuck. On a spiritual level, people can be free even though their mental and physical bodies are stuck.
And let me say what I think you mean by that. On a spiritual level, a spiritual level is when things are... where there's honesty is present. See, I think we can look at certain qualities where there is ease of movement and exchange. That's what I think we mean about shopping. You see, what is shopping? It's just an exchange. And that's why I jokingly said shopping, but I think it's actually true. If you think of it, shopping is fundamentally an exchange once you've decided on what you want to buy. And the universe is all about exchange. And anything that facilitates the fluidity of exchange is, to me, moving, if not at a spiritual level, because it's that movement that passes between us that, to me, is the real juicy, going back to that image, juicy stuff of life. We touch it in through Eros, named after me, by the way, and... we touch it when we have that sensual experience with our lovers. And there's a certain point, though, in which we recognize that we want something deeper and more far-reaching, something that, in fact, goes on.
Hmm.
You think?
I think.
In my review, I watch you watching the twilight behind the telephone lines with nothing to prove or to assume. Just thinking that your thoughts are different than mine. In my review, I watch you and I gave you your life, but you give me mine. I see you slowly swim away. The light is leaving town to a place that I can't be. But there's no apologies, just go on, just go on. There's still so many things I wanna say to you, but go on, just go on. We're bound by blood that's moving from the moment that we start, from the moment that we start. I
shadows of the clouds and the surface of the ocean out the window of a plane. I get nervous when I fly. I'm used to walking with my feet. Turbulence is like a sigh that I can't help but overthink. What is the purpose of my life if it doesn't have to do with learning to let it go? Live vicariously through you could do the same. It's the least you could do, cause it's a lonely little chain. If you don't have to, it's so go on, just go on. There's still so many things I wanna say to you, but go on, just go on. We're bound by blood and love, and the moment that we start, just go on, just go on. There's still so many things I wanna say to you, just go on, just go on. We're bound by blood.
That was a perfect pick, my friend. Perfect
go
pick.
Go on by Jack Johnson. It was pretty mellow. By the way, let me be the first to welcome you to This Now. And This Now is being brought to you essentially by Inside Out, The Naked Truth, which in turn is sponsored by Go Raw Natural Foods, which you can get at like Costco and online, goraw.com. It's really good. And eating well, I think, makes going on more pleasurable. And I think there are a lot of people would opt for that, unless you're one of those people who feel like they deserve not to have the good. Those are people who have a very low self-esteem of themselves.
You know, I was thinking as we were dissecting all the things that we talk about, that going on doesn't necessitate union because you can go on without me. Go on. You know, you go on and I'll catch up, or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll go another way. I'll go on there and you go on there. And so much of my shout it from the roof thing is about union, that wonderful sense of union. And so as we go on, how does union play a part in our going on? Because we don't have to go on with anything other than our intention to continue.
Well, it goes back to that thing I mentioned about Teilhard, about union differentiating. And if you would like to read in like one paragraph this kind of quintessential summarization, that may be a redundancy, but anyway.
Go on there, friend.
Of the phenomenon of what it's about. It's this pull toward union through which we come to become more and more ourselves. And he makes the distinction between our individuality and our personality. But the phenomenon of becoming more and more personal is what the universe is invested all this 14 billion years to get us, so that the personalness emerges, because it is the personalness of being that so far, from what I can see, has the greatest capacity to experience love in a very conscious way, and the recognition that that can be furthered through attention and intention.
So going on comes about through union.
Yes, well, just look at the obvious.
Even though you can go on without me.
But I'm never without you. I think that's the other lesson, that you may not be my physical presence, but we're never without one another. And like, think about certain people in your life that you were so involved with and so devoted to, and even the thought at that time of continuing without them might have been terrible or didn't want to think about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yet here you are, having gone on, and they went on, and you're still in the same frame of reference that you both share, which is the Earth's existence on a rotating sphere that's whipping around the universe at speeds that are beyond.
So anything. It's like, I think of it as, you know those games where you push a button, you
Pull what?
Pull a thing and the balls go round and round and then they drop into different holes and you get points and everything.
Well, we'll get back to that next week on Inside Out, because we got to close down. We're done. We love you. Come
We're
visit
going
us.
On.
We are going to go on. Hope you go on too.
Remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Go on.
Mm-hmm.